Now the question arises, how does this process of seeing or realizing, whatever we might like to call it, actually take place? Now, in order to approach this topic, let us take a look at one of the scriptures, at one of the Mahayana sutras, in fact, at one of the most famous of them, which is called the Surangama Sutra, translated usually as the Hero-Bodied Sutra. Sura being hero, Angama being body or limbs, sutra being a discourse delivered by the Buddha, or a dialogue between the Buddha and his disciples. Now, the scene of this sutra, the scene of this discourse or dialogue, is laid, like so many other discourses and dialogues in the scriptures, at a place called Shravasti in northwestern India, not so very far from the present day Delhi. And it appears that on this particular occasion, the Buddha and his disciples, the great bodhisattvas, the great arahants, and the monks, had all been invited by the king to a great feast. Some special occasion. Apparently, so far as I remember, the anniversary of the king's father's death. So they all went. The Buddha went, the great bodhisattvas, the arahants, the bhikshus, the monks. The nuns aren't mentioned, but I suppose they went too. So everyone went except Ananda. Ananda being the Buddha's personal attendant and also his cousin. So Ananda didn't go because he hadn't come back from an errand on which he'd been sent by the Buddha. The Buddha had sent him out on some business, and the time for the departure of everybody for the dana, as it's called, the food offering, arrived. Ananda just wasn't there. So they all went off without him. So sometime later, Ananda returned. So he found the monastery empty. Nobody there, no food. So he didn't mind that particularly. He just took his begging bowl and he sallied forth. Went into the town, into the bazaar, and he started quietly, meekly, humbly, begging from door to door, from one door to the next, then to the next, getting just a morsel or two of food from each house. Now it so happened that in this way he came to the house of an untouchable and outcast woman. So her name was Martangi. That is, a woman of this particular untouchable caste or untouchable community. So he begged a few morsels of food from that particular house also. So it so happened that Martangi had a daughter, quite young. It so happened that this daughter, whose name was Prakriti, happened to see the monk. Now, Ananda was still quite young, still quite handsome, still quite attractive. So it appeared that the young lady, thereupon, on the spot, fell violently in love with him. So she said to her mother, "Oh, mother, please help me." So the mother happens to be a witch. So the mother, being a witch, since gave the brew in the cauldron another stir, muttered a spell or two, and she cast a spell on the unfortunate monk. So, unfortunately, the monk couldn't resist the force of the spell, and as though hypnotized, as it were, step by step by step by step, he just entered Prakriti's room. In other words, a typically symbiotic situation. So the sutra, which is written with some literary skill, thereupon transfers to the monastery. the Buddha has come back from the Dharma, from the feast. He's brought all his disciples back with him. He's brought the king, he's brought the king's retinue. So, as the custom is, they all sit down in the great preaching hall, and the Buddha teaches them, delivers a discourse. But the Buddha hasn't forgotten Ananda. Well, the Buddha doesn't forget anybody. Not so easy to escape from the Buddha. He knows what is happening. He knows exactly, minute by minute, what is happening. So he calls one of the great bodhisattvas. He calls Manjushri, the bodhisattva of wisdom. Wisdom is rather necessary in this sort of situation. And he sends him. He says, go to Ananda. You also know what happened, what is happening, just save him.